Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to another edition of the Wells Lutheran Radio Service. I'm Pastor Josh Hillman, and I have the privilege of serving the folks at Rock of Ages, Gordon, Nebraska, and Our Redeemer's, Martin, South Dakota. Today, we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the master of the house was called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, because there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So far our text, we bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What do you fear? Spiders? Don't like how they scuttle along the floorboards in your living room and build webs in the corners of your garage and furnace room right where the light switch is? Do you fear lightning and thunder? A sudden flash followed by an ear-splitting crash sends you scurrying into your parents' bed in the middle of the night. By the way, it's for that same reason many moms and dads are also afraid of thunder and lightning. Maybe it's snakes. Others fear heights and won't even climb ladders. We all fear rejection. That's why walking into a room full of strangers is a bit unsettling. Is there a way to overcome our fears no matter what they are? There is, says Jesus in our gospel lesson this morning. Fear God, and you will be fearless. Fearless of bullies and fearless of the future. Jesus spoke the words of our text to prepare his disciples for missionary work, the work of telling others about their sin and their Savior. They would be well prepared for this effort because Jesus had given his disciples the power to heal and drive out demons. Still, their task would not be easy. Jesus explained, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the master of the house is called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household?" Jesus warned his disciples that since he had been harassed, the disciples could expect to be hassled too, and it shouldn't surprise them. That's a good reminder for us as well. Although we would love it if news about Jesus was always welcomed like a coupon for a free ice cream, telling others about Jesus doesn't always elicit a joyful response, not even from those who should know better, like people who grew up in the church. But we should not be discouraged. Jesus was often rejected, and so will we if we are truly his followers. And that's a good question to ponder this morning, isn't it? Am I really a follower of Jesus? Do I walk in the path he has laid out for me in his word? Or do I press on in directions that I want to go? Jesus has called me to be a faithful pastor, for example. But do I use the excuse of my work to hide in my office when I should be engaging my children and serving my spouse as a faithful father and husband? Or is it reversed? Do I use my children and my wife as an excuse not to be about the Lord's work? Jesus has called on all of us to deny our sinful flesh. But do we use our intellect to rationalize our pet sins instead of figuring out how to avoid them? The problem could be that we don't see Jesus as our leader, but we see him as our maid, someone who is to follow behind us and clean up all the messes that we leave behind. And when Jesus doesn't clean up after us, when he lets us suffer the consequences of our sin, then we complain that he isn't there for us. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like our society today? The fact is, Jesus is not our maid. He is our leader, and he gives us good reasons to let him do the leading. He went on to say to his disciples, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There was no reason for the disciples to be bluffed into silence by the bullies they would encounter. Back a few years ago, when my laptop fell off a stand, there was an audible gasp from those who saw it happen. I have to admit, my heart sank too, especially when I saw a crack in the screen. But when I hooked up the laptop to another monitor, it was clear that the hard drive and processor were in working order. I just needed a new screen. Well, today, Jesus is telling us that this is also the worst that people can do to us. They can break our display. No matter how hard they hit us, they cannot break what's on the inside, our soul. God, however, has the power to break the soul as well. That is, he has the power to end our joy forever by banishing us from his love. So save your fear for God, urges Jesus. Now, when Jesus says that we should fear God, he's speaking about a respectful reverence, not an attitude of terror, as if God is a mean school teacher or an ornery boss whom we better keep happy if we know what's good for us. Jesus' point is this: stand in awe of God, not people. Don't be awed by the intellect of the scientist who tells you that this universe must be billions of years old. Don't be awed by the slick computer-generated animations that you see at museums to illustrate the theory of evolution. Rather, stand in awe that the God of truth has told you plain and simple how this universe came into existence by the power of his word in 6 24-hour days. Don't be awed by the power and prestige celebrities possess. Don't crave their shameful lifestyles. Instead, stand in awe of what God has already given to you, his love and promises of daily bread and eternal life. This is what Jesus was getting at when he said, "There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops." Another way to say that would be, eventually everything is going to be put out in the open and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public right now with it. When someone tells you a secret, it means that they trust you. Well, the Son of God has whispered into our ears the secret of eternal life. What a privileged position we hold. Jesus has also whispered the reason the world is the way it is and how it's going to end. He has whispered to us how to be happy and content no matter what our station in life. He has whispered all this to us through his word. Now shout what you know from the rooftops, because these secrets aren't just for you, they're for everyone. Will everyone be happy with what you have to say? Unfortunately, no. They especially won't like the part about sin. They may even persecute us for that message. But fear God more than you fear those bullies, because God's reach stretches beyond the grave. Fear God and you will be fearless of whatever bullies oppose you. You'll also be fearless of whatever else the future may bring. Jesus assures us of that when he went on to say in verses 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. It's not surprising to hear that we are worth more to God than sparrows, right? What is perhaps surprising is to learn is that not one of the billions of sparrows that fly around this world falls to the ground apart from God's will. The sparrow that lives among the cherry trees of Japan and the sparrow that flits through the forests of Germany, as well as the sparrow that chirps outside your bedroom, are all under God's watchful care. If God gives sparrows this much attention, won't He also give you the care and attention that you need? This does not mean that you will never fall to the ground. Jesus did not say that the sparrows never fall to the ground because God watches them. They just don't fall to the ground apart from His will. Likewise, God hasn't promised to keep sickness or death from us, but He will use these difficulties for our good. That's because He knows exactly what we need. Why, He even knows how many strands of hair we each have. What I like about that verse is that it doesn't say that God could count the hairs on your head, but He's not going to bother. No, He's already done that and already knows how many hairs you have and how many more will fall out today. Not even your mother or your spouse knows those details about you, and frankly, they don't care to. But God does. Is there any need to be afraid of the future then? Not when we fear God and stand in awe of His power to protect and care for us. Actually, there is one thing we should be afraid of, and that's turning away from our Savior. Jesus concluded our text with these words: "Everyone who confesses Me before others, I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before others, I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven." Just because you eagerly confess Jesus now does not mean that you will continue to do this. Satan is working hard to pull you away from your Savior, and he will fight till your death to claim you for himself. I mean, look at how close he came to claiming the Apostle Peter. Hours after Peter boasted he would never deny Jesus, he did just that. And like Peter, we often disown Jesus too, don't we? When speaking about what we're going to do on the weekend, do we tell our friends and coworkers, "Well, I'll for sure be going to church," or do we leave that out because we know it isn't true, or we're embarrassed of what they might think of us? Or when God's design for marriage is challenged in a conversation, do we just remain silent? That kind of silence can become deadly. For if we continue to deny Jesus before people, He will deny us forever. So don't be afraid of what others will think of you because of your faith. Fear God instead. Love and respect Him, and you will be fearless even when Judgment Day comes and the world as we know it is falling to pieces. You won't be afraid when the sun stops shining and when the earth is ripped apart by great earthquakes, because you will know that this is the fanfare announcing Jesus' return. And at His return, He will gather the faithful and introduce us to His Heavenly Father, saying, "Father, here's my brother so-and-so. And over there is my sister. They've come to live with us forever." God the Father will answer, "Welcome. Come sit on the thrones prepared for you. Come and rule with my Son who washed you clean from all your sins." Dear friends, look forward to that reality. The reality of an eternal life with God where nothing, not spiders, not thunder and lightning, not snakes, not even our own sin, or the sin of others, can frighten ever again. Amen.